From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Sexist, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Trust you're doing well today. So there's a lot of anxiety right now in Trump world, and I don't think there ought to be. But I will say this. Look, maybe this is a time for reflection for Team Trump. And what people need to understand is that there is a there's an election we have to win. And I'm not quite sure that a lot of people get this. And there's a big debate right now on social media, and it has now spilled over into cable news, and it has now become a major issue involving some of President Trump's surrogates. There's a story right now circulating about Laura Loomer, and Laura Loomer has been a fierce defender of President Trump. She's out there calling out people who are disloyal to the president. And anyway, yesterday, she wrote a message on Twitter that has caused a bit of angst, and people are just outraged over this. So anyway, Laura Loomer writing about Kamala Harris and saying that if Kamala Harris gets elected, that the White House is going to smell like curry. Pardon me. And I don't know if she meant it as a joke or not. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of curry, by the way. So anyway, all you know what is breaking loose. Marjorie Taylor Greene is enraged, and she's calling Laura Loomer racist. Wait, what? So it's just, it's ugly. Laura Loomer is out there, and she is saying that, you know, MTG is working with the Democrats, attacking Trump allies 50 days out from the election. So now you have MAGA world at war with each other. Laura writes about MTG. MTG is the most miserable lying B-word in Congress. And we need to inform more MAGA patriots of how treacherous this woman is. Why is MTG teaming up with MSDNC and the rest of the left-wing media to demonize the only journalist exposing the wrongdoings of Judge Merchan and his daughter? Now, here's the issue. And by the way, MSDNC had an entire panel discussion this morning calling Laura Loomer every name in the book, saying Laura Loomer is a freak. And just about everybody else is going after this woman, too. So the question is, are these kinds of things, when you've got these high-profile Trump surrogates out there, and they're saying, well, the White House, and, you know, if the White House smells like curry, I'm going to read exactly what she wrote. If Kamala Harris wins, the White House will smell like curry, and White House speeches will be facilitated via a call center. Oh, geez. And the American people will only be able to convey their feedback through a customer satisfaction survey at the end of the call that nobody will understand. Now, can we just take President Trump out of this for a minute? That's actually true. Have you ever tried to call, you know, you've got a problem with something, and the person who picks up the phone says, hello, this is Sinbad, you know, and I don't understand what Sinbad is saying. I wish I did. I don't speak whatever that language is. I wish I did. Maybe I should. Or maybe it's asking too much to ask for the call center to actually be based in America. Wow, I am so far off the mark here, but bear with me, which is why I love Patriot Mobile, because their call center is based right here in America, and you can understand people because they speak English. So, does that make me a bad person, by the way? Does that make me a bad person? I just want, when I'm calling, there's a problem with the iPhone, I want to be able to talk to somebody who converses in English.
I think that's fair.
I don't need Southern. I just need, you know, a good, fine Midwestern vanilla accent.
Starting off the show strong today, Todd.
Yo quiero Taco Bell. I'm like, I like a chalupa. No, I don't know. I just don't understand. Hold on just a second. I know I'm going to get the text messages, so I'll just go ahead and get this out of the way right now. Get off my lawn. Yeah, I'm one of those old guys. No, I'm not an old guy. I'm just asking. You know. You know. So anyway, I don't know if she meant it as a joke, but it's a pretty darn funny joke. Nobody can joke around anymore. Nobody can kid. But anyway, everybody's very upset about this. Everybody's calling Laura Loomer a racist. But what they're doing is they're trying to connect Laura Loomer to Trump as if she is the running mate here. And the concern I have about this, and this is just for everybody, your job as a surrogate, your one job is to protect and defend the candidate and not create more issues for the candidate. And so now, if there is another, I don't know, if there is another debate, President Trump is going to be asked about Laura Loomer. That's just the way this works, right? So anyway, they're piling on, and Laura is an easy target to pile on, but she's been nothing but loyal to Donald J. Trump, and I respect that. That's what I respect. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I'm just preparing you. This is going to be a weird show today. All right. I just want to alert you. We're going to be talking about Kamala. We're going to be talking about fricasseeing cats. It's the gamut today, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got a big problem underway up on Capitol Hill. And then Michael Steele wants to spank Trump's ass. I don't know what that's all about. A little kinky, if you ask me. But we don't judge here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So this story out of Axios. And here's the question we asked on our social media pages, and we're going to be getting to your calls in just a few moments. Should President Trump consent to another debate? Should the president debate Kamala Harris again? And there is a big movement afoot for President Trump to do a do-over, because as the president did not stay focused during a lot of that debate. And so a lot of his advisors are wanting a do-over. Now, this is from Axios, and they're talking to people inside the campaign. And this is what Axios is reporting. Here's what troubles former President Trump's advisors most. I'm reading here from Axios. He knew that with precision and preparation, Vice President Harris would bait him on things like crowd size and buck discussion about her power today and liberalism in the past. He knew exactly how to try to turn each moment against her, but he blew it badly, repeatedly, predictably. He simply cannot help himself, Trump insiders begrudgingly admit. No practice, no pleas, or sage advice keeps Trump from being Trump. It is a feature, not a correctable bug. And if that's the case, and let me stop right here, and I don't know who these people are that they're talking to over at Axios. Clearly, there are people that are disloyal to the president that are out there speaking this. We all saw it. We all know exactly what happened. We saw that the president took the bait. He did every single time. We saw that. But those conversations should be inside the campaign and not published in the pages of Axios. Again, back to the point, there are grifters in the Trump orbit. Very bad people who are not looking out for the president as much as they are looking out for a way to put more money in their bank account. That's what's going on here. So I will continue here. The big picture, there is a straight illuminating through line from Trump's post-assassination attempt convention speech and his debate performance Tuesday night. Go back in time. Go back to the seconds after he was shot at in Pennsylvania. The moment Trump rose, ear bloodied, fist held high, American flag flying behind him and mouthing in the words, fight. It was an iconic moment, an unforgettable image, a political memory money can't buy. And Trump's team believed a sure bet ticket to winning in November. All he had to do, they told him, was use the moment to say he took a bullet for America and felt like a changed man ready to pull the nation together. For a few days, he did, until 28 minutes into his primetime convention speech on July 18. Trump knew and was told he could walk off the convention stage up double digits in the polls if he exploited the assassination attempt and cut the grievance scrap. But just like Tuesday's debate, he simply could not help himself. He went on for 60 more rambling minutes in that convention speech, rehashing his greatest grievous hits. The same pattern unfolded at the debate, like clockwork. You saw it in the first 20 minutes or so. Trump was calm, confident, self-controlled in discussing the economy and what he could deliver for voters. Then Harris went for Trump's ego soft spot, crowd size. You don't need to be Freud to know Trump is sensitive about his fans and their attention and affection. Advisors told him she'd debate relentlessly on this or similar topics. Don't bite. That was the counsel they gave him. Axios reports he did not just nibble at the bait. He crushed it like a starving, roaring river salmon. A salmon? He was on a wild run the rest of the debate. So there you go. That's the information leaking out of Team Trump. And I don't think this was, I just don't think it was a devastating debate for the president. But I will say this. I believe that President Trump needs to be focused on big picture. President Trump needs to be focused on the economy and the fact that over the past 3.5 years, the Democrats, led by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, have destroyed our economy. They've brought us to the brink of World War III. They have opened up our borders and have allowed tens of millions of very dangerous, bad people into our country. Those three things really are all the election needs to be about. It really does. Now, as we saw in the post-debate polls, and I know Fox has some polling data up, and it shows Kamala Harris getting a bump from the debates, I just don't buy this idea that Trump is losing right now. But Trump has to focus, and it is imperative upon his team to get him to focus. It's very simple. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Mary in North Carolina. Mary, I'm curious here, does the president need to do another debate?
Yes, if he wants to, but on his terms. He did the debate with Biden and Kamala with their terms. Now we got to go to Fox, we got to go to Newsmax, we got to go to Real America's Voice. And if they don't accept, then there's no more debate. He's got to get really tough, find his stones. Second, we need to be unified. We need to be united, not so petty about this and that and leaks and stuff. I don't believe any of it. I don't believe the leaks. I don't believe the polls. Let's unify. We're playing a football game, and we gotta get another field goal or a touchdown, and we've gotta put the blinders on and concentrate on what's important. I think she's not doing so well, and I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, take her out in October and put someone else. You never know. Or something. Biden, you know, says he can't continue being president. Something's coming. They're not going to lose, with their hands tied. They're up for a fight because they have so much to lose. All the corruption will come out, and they don't want to do that. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think, look, the president, it's been really tough. For 10 years, he's been putting up with so much bullcrap and being hit and getting so much detriment, and it's caused him a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. And he's a fighter. But you know what? He's flesh and bone. It hurts. It hurts. And there's so much to take when you look at the enemy. It's
yeah.
Not easy.
No, Mary, it's not easy. And I know your phone's getting a little squirrely on us, Mary, but I hear your passion. And I'm with you. I think if the president does a debate, it needs to be entirely on his terms. And we also need to avoid ever going back to the legacy media. Never again. Never again, ladies and gentlemen. I would say Newsmax would be the best bet. Trump, by the way, even said if he does a debate at Fox News that he's not going to let Martha McCallum or Bret Baier be the moderators. And that is a wise decision there because Bret Baier is a raging anti-Trump leftist. I know he's got that all shucks kind of hokey dokey thing going. No, the guy is a raging anti-Trump leftist, and that's the way it is. He has no business moderating any debate at all. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Before we go to break, I'm going to play this. I love it. You know, the Trump had the line about the Haitians eating the cats and the dogs. The kids over at TikTok have gone bonkers crazy over that. Cut three.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. Eat the cat.
Consider this. Without God, can we have a democracy? And if religion is removed from Washington, who pays the ultimate price? There's a new movie out called God's Not Dead, In God We Trust, the story of a small-town pastor pushed into the political arena to run against a powerful regime forcing faith and religion out of American politics. There's no better time for this movie. In today's divided culture, all of this upheaval and yearning for spiritual leadership is America's collective scream to keep God in the forefront. God's Not Dead challenges mainstream liberals in the battle for spiritual leadership, hope, and faith in America. Watch it with your family and friends. And remember the words of Ronald Reagan. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. Folks, we are one nation under God. Don't miss God's Not Dead and God We Trust, a Pinnacle Peak production in theater September 12th.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs.
Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I love that. I got to get that on my ringtone. Can you help me out with that, Dylan? I love that. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Yeah, look, I just feel optimistic about where things are going here, folks. But there are a lot of potholes along the way. There are a lot of detours. And yes, to our previous caller, I do think there's something that's going to drop. You know, they call it the October surprise. And it very well may be that Joe Biden decides to call it a day and gets removed from office and Kamala becomes the actual president of these United States. I mean, that could be the big thing. We will have to wait and see. I will say this. I thought it was very interesting, and we're going to play some of the full audio a little bit later on. President Biden putting on the Donald Trump hat at the fire station in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. That was interesting. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Greg in Maryland. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Stearns. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm trying to float the idea that maybe Trump kind of semi-tanked this thing on purpose. And the reason is, I mean, he wrote The Art of the Deal. I'm sure he's read Art of War by Sun Tzu. I think he gave her a false sense of bluster. And he baited her into a second one, and then he comes out on the second one a little closer to the election and just demolishes her. Or you could go to the other side of the argument, and they know their internal numbers are crap, and this is what they need to do to pick them back up.
So this is an interesting theory you are positing here, Greg. So you're saying that Trump did this intentionally. He delivered a lackluster performance to really sort of lure Kamala into the takeout, the you hate to use the word kill shot, but you're saying that's what he's trying to do here.
I honestly believe that.
Greg, I just wanted to make sure that's a fascinating theory, folks. What do you think about that one? 901-260-5926. Greg, thanks for the call. Got to run for a break. We'll be right back. You've asked, and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. $1,000 and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And by the way, thank you for watching Newsmax last night. Prime News had some great conversations and just a lot of you folks sending text messages, and I sure do appreciate you watching the show. Want to go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Danny in Selmer, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Danny. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, sir. I hope you and yours will give me a minute just to...
Real quick, let's get right to it. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. In the debate, folks need to watch body language. Okay, if you look at Mr. Trump, President Trump, and you look at her, look at their facial expression, look at their body language. She's slap happy having fun. He's taking this seriously. And, yeah, she got a little bit of attitude. She can see there's a little bit of seriosity, but she's slap happy having fun. He's taking it seriously. Now, listen, I swore in for God and country years ago in that little flag. And I got my butt tore up for God and country for all of you all. And I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about other people that gave more than me. I survived. Yeah, I wake up every day and wish I wasn't alive because I hurt so bad. And I'm so tore up, so limited. I gave for God and country and for everyone here I gave. So is he. She isn't. She's slap happy and having fun. Y'all watch the body language and see what it's really about. And what I did, yeah, that was my choice. I ain't looking for thanks or nothing like that. Don't do it. But I'm telling you, it was all for naught.
So, Danny, it seemed to me when I was watching Kamala Harris, she just seems very condescending. And it was that you could tell that, you know, she was smiling on the outside, but inside, internally, I think she was raging. I think that Trump was really getting under her skin. And there's reporting out there that they brought in Hollywood acting coaches to work with her in the weeks leading up to the debate. So it could have all just been a big phony thing that she was trying to do yesterday or day before yesterday.
I agree fully with you. And the other thing is, if you look, Mr. President Trump, he was standing forward as presidential man should professionally in addressing the nation. She was turning to him and facing him most of the time and listening as if a subordinate. Wasn't addressing the nation, was listening to what he said so she could do a comeback.
Thank you for calling. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, we are trying to track down someone. We heard from a sweet lady. She's an early Christmas shopper, and she wanted to get her grandchild one of those podiums, the podium that Kamala Harris was using. So we have reached out to Fisher Price, and we're going to find out if they just made that just for Kamala or if they're going to have a full line of little kitty podiums. I could be some big business there. You never know. Let's go to Anna in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Anna. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I think everybody's just, that woman shouldn't even been on the stage. And I think that I don't know these people. I don't know Trump, and I don't know Harris, but I know what they've done. And that's all that's all that matters to me. I can make assumptions about what they were thinking or what they're going to do. But I'm watching. I was watching the other day. I was watching the other night, just raising hell. I mean, just it was like a tapestry of obscenities over my house. My poor partner was saying, you got to calm down. And that's right. And we all have to calm down. The thing is, President Trump is the guy. He's the guy. We all know it. She got up there. They broke the Constitution. They could have done the 25th Amendment to remove a sick president without raising Cain with him. He was clearly not well. But they didn't do that. And I feel, although I don't care very much for Biden, because I'm older and I've seen him when he was young too. You know, he was not the person that I would have ever voted for. But I was really surprised when he won the election back in 2020. And I think a lot of people were. But the point being, she didn't need to be there because she didn't win the primary vote, period. She should not have been there. And, you know, when I'm looking at President Trump, I know, although I don't know the man, he has got to be beside himself because he's standing there with a fraud. And it just absolutely gets to his craw. And he's trying to, you know, maintain his composure, but he's taking all kinds of accusations along with ABC supporting this garbage. So, you know, everybody knows. I really do believe in the American people, and I think that most of us realize that this was PAP. This is PAP. And what he did or what he didn't do, I care about what he did in his presidency. And I know that he's not going to change his mind. She even suggested that he voted against the immigration. It wasn't him. It was Charles Schumer that voted against that. So check when this woman says
right.
stuff, folks.
Don't believe her. She lies, Anna, and she lies with abandon. She doesn't care. She doesn't even care because she knows that a good chunk of the American people are not paying attention. And they get away with it every single time. Anna, got to run. Thank you for that call. And by the way, want to share some more intel with you. This is just mind-blowing. So now we can tell you that the head of Disney Entertainment, and by the way, she oversees all of the entertainment media, news, and content portfolio for Disney. Her name is Dana Walden. And among the organizations within the company that she's in control of, ABC News. Now, Dana Walden happens to be best friends with Kamala Harris. Best friends. Now word comes out that not only that, ladies and gentlemen, it turns out that, and again, it turns out that the co-moderator of the debate, Lindsay Davis, happens to be a sorority sister of Kamala Harris. So my question is, who's in charge of investigations over at RNC headquarters? Who's in charge of investigating all of this? It just seems to me that somebody has dropped the ball here, right? I mean, this is pretty easy stuff to track down and to find out. And especially if you're going on a debate stage in a very unfriendly environment, quite frankly, enemy territory. So, again, if we're going to put our president in a situation like that, you better do all of your homework. And quite frankly, Trump should have known. President Trump should have known. They should have given him this information so Trump could have used it during the debate. Well, Lindsay, that's an odd question, but maybe it's because you're the sorority sister here of Kamala. I'm just saying. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Luke in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Luke. What's going on?
Hey, Mr. Todd. Hey, all right, just think about it. When she was standing there with her fist underneath her chin and her hands underneath her elbow, when we was kids, we used to fight, and that's what the bullies used to do. You know, before they'd give them a good time to swing back and hit the man that they're going to hit. He done made her mad. And when she started standing like that, first thing I said, she's fixing to hit him. All right, and another point is, too, Todd, when she said that, he said, we're going to buy back the guns. Boy, she was ready to defend that. She rebutted that. But then when he called her a Marxist and her daddy a Marxist, she never rebutted. And that's all I have to say, Mr. Todd.
Yeah, Luke, that's a great observation, and you're right. She pushed back about a lot of stuff, but she did not push back when Trump called her and her daddy a Marxist. And that's because it's true. The apple does not fall far from that tree. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, what are the coincidences? Do you believe in coincidence? Do you? Because Barack Hussein Obama's daddy was a raging Marxist, and now here we have Kamala Harris, and her daddy was a raging Marxist. And we all know who's pulling all the strings here. We all know that. By the way, I want to play some audio for you. This is Joe Biden in a fire station in Shanksville, and the Trump supporters in that room, a bunch of old guys, a bunch of old fellas, old timers, as they call them, they convinced Biden to put a Donald Trump hat on his head. Let's listen to the full exchange.
Trump, I'll give you my presidential hat. Presidential seal on it.
You want to autograph it?
Oh, sure, I'll autograph
it. Huh?
Yeah.
You remember your name?
I don't remember my name. I'm slow.
You're an old fart. You're an old fart.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm an old guy.
And you're an old fart.
I know you would know about that.
What?
I'm being old.
Oh, I know.
All right.
I'm a young timer.
He reminds me of the guys I grew up with. There was always one in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only one.
There you go, man. I need that hat.
You want my autograph?
Hell no.
You know my name.
Put it on.
Come on.
I ain't going that far.
Yeah. You said you were doing filthy. There you go.
And there you go. He put on the Trump hat. Holy cow. You know, you do wonder, because when you look back to the debate, President Trump said that Joe Biden hates her guts. I mean, there is bad blood between those two, because Biden knows, even though he's, you know, suffering from dementia, he knows. He knows what she did. And there is bad blood there. And if I were Donald Trump, I'd be putting that up on a billboard somewhere. Even Joe Biden's voting for Trump. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starden Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Well, I got some angry fan mail last night after the Newsmax show, and they're calling me Islamophobic. Yours truly, Islamophobic. And look, here's the deal. I'm more than happy to fellowship with any religion that doesn't want to blow me up. All right? Good. That's where I stand. So I'm willing to shake your hand. I don't care if you're Muslim or Buddhist or a wackadoodle, whatever. As long as you don't want to blow me up, we're good. I can live with that. It's America. You can be a Baptist. You can be an atheist. So anyway, people are very upset because I continually pointed out on the Newsmax show last night that the people who committed the 9/11 terrorist attacks happen to be Muslims who were waging jihad in the name of their religion. How dare you? Who do you think you are? You Islamophobic bigot. No, I'm just simply calling out the facts. When you're tying bandanas to your head and you're shouting Allahu Akbar as you're flying a jetliner into the building, you are committing an act on behalf of your religion. So anyway, the U.S. Secret Service is under fire, And I don't know what's going on over there, folks, but they've just got to dismantle all of that mess, all of it. The Secret Service actually included the 19 Muslim hijackers in their tribute to the 9/11 victims. Why would they do that? So now they have gone and deleted the tweet, but the reality is it was still there. And so somebody inside the Secret Service thought that we should remember the 19 Ahmeds and Mohammeds that boarded those planes and flew those jetliners into the buildings and killed all of those people, all of them. I'm telling you, folks, it's a nasty business in D.C. Trump's going to have a big job ahead of himself cleaning out that swamp. Let's go to Rebecca in Georgia. Hi, Rebecca. What's on your mind?
Well, I was telling your assistant that we belong to a Spanish community, a Latino community, right here in Georgia. And we got all together to see the debate. It was very interesting. Definitely, we love our President Trump. We need him back. So incredible. But what he did lose some opportunities to really tell Kamala how horrible her and Biden is. Like at the time that he was talking in Ohio, how that illegal aliens, people keep calling in immigrants. No immigrants. These are illegal aliens and they are coming in our community. So especially in Ohio, he should have just say that besides of taking all the services from people that they really needed, from people that they didn't hear for generations, paying Social Security, working, paying taxes, that it's not just that taking all just those services. They are invading the hospitals. The hospitals, they don't have no way to keep helping these people. They're invading the schools. You know, families like in Ohio, in Tennessee, in Kentucky, you know, people just go and try to say, oh, where are my kids going to go now for school? There is hundreds and thousands of kids going in it that no speak English at all. And it's okay. It's okay if they don't speak English because they want to learn. But no, you were not here legally. You did not pay taxes. You were not. You just are stealing all the services. And our president didn't say that. As a woman, as a family, yeah, those things really affect us. If our kids get sick and go to the hospital and there is all these people and they're not looking after my kid that needs to be taken care of, has asthma, like my friend told me, it's just very scary.
It's got to be frustrating as well, Rebecca. And to your point, the people that are being impacted are people who came to this country legally, who are being denied services. And we're going to get into this in the next hour because we have some new intel coming out of Springfield, Ohio. And it's not just about the fact that the Haitians are out there eating the cats and dogs. And by the way, in some of these cases, they may not actually be eating the cats. What they're doing is using the cats in these voodoo ceremonies and sacrifices. I mean, it's some crazy stuff going down over there. But to Rebecca's point, and Rebecca, God bless you, and thank you for the call. To her point, American citizens in Springfield are literally getting moved to the back of the bus, and they are being denied services that are actually being given to the illegals. There is a report you're going to hear, and we're going to say this for the next hour of the show, so you're going to want to stick around after the news break here. There is reporting out of Springfield, Ohio, that locals are being moved out of their rental units. And the reason why is because the government is coming in and they are paying twice as much or sometimes three times as much to these landlords so they will house the illegals. They're using your tax money to evict law-abiding people, American citizens, that are actually paying their rent. This is unbelievable. We're going to get into that story. Also, Governor Mike DeWine's got some things to say about what's happening in Springfield as well. It is a huge inflection point in the election. It really can be, which is why the media is going bonkers over this. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. We are in the middle of a tropical storm here in Memphis, Tennessee. What is it? Francine. And the wind is blowing and it's raining outside and all that kind of good stuff. So power is going out all over Memphis, but we are very fortunate. The power is still on, knock on wood. So there you go. All right. I want to talk about this Springfield, Ohio story, which has sort of exploded. President Trump, and Dylan, if we could, I want to find the original, the comment that President Trump made about the cats and the dogs. But the president, repeating reports, that the Haitian migrants were eating cats and dogs and ducks, and it's causing big troubles in Springfield, Ohio, which is a relatively small town. So anyway, Governor Mike DeWine is getting involved in this. And I want to say from the outset, do not underestimate the significance of this story. Don't do that. It would be easy to laugh and dismiss. And I know a lot of the folks over at TikTok are having a good time with the with all the videos. And I get that. But this really, it really defines what's happening in our country and what's happening at the border. And I want to explain this. So Springfield, Ohio is a predominantly white town. It is a blue-collar town. And I would say probably home to lower middle-class people. All right? These are the people that Barack Hussein Obama defined once as the people who were bitter. They cling to their guns. They cling to their religion. He was talking about the people in that area of the country. And maybe not as well-educated as many Democrats might be. All right. So this is, so all that to say, when you are watching the media coverage of all of this, you need to understand the undercurrent here. And the undercurrent is, if you're paying attention to the media, that the people in Springfield are just a bunch of backwoods hicks who are racist, who do not embrace culture change. And if you do that, if you buy into the narrative, and by the way, Maxine Waters out there, old Maxine, Auntie, she's saying, don't you be talking bad about them Haitians. If you do, you racist. That's just racist talk. That's Maxine Waters. I got to work on the accent. But Maxine is out there accusing people of being racist. What's really interesting, though? There are a good many blacks that live in Springfield, and it's the black citizens that are among those speaking up and speaking out about what they see, what they are seeing with their eyes. So when the media is telling you, well, there's no proof of this or that, they're lying to you, because We've played a lot of the audio over the past couple of days since this story came to light. We have played the audio of the citizens going before their town council and saying, hey, look, this is a problem here. So anyway, people are genuinely concerned. They love their little cats, little Fluffy. I mean, Dylan, you've got growing up, you had cats. What was that 800-pound cat you guys had?
Blizzard.
Blizzard.
And he's a white cat.
And your grandfather, not that there's anything wrong with that. And your grandfather had the cat that had, what, ADD? Berserko.
Berserko, yeah.
Berserko.
We have good names for our cats.
We had a cat growing up. I'm not a big cat guy, but we had a cat named Cuddles. And Cuddles was a very affectionate cat. And unfortunately, Dylan, Cuddles kind of swung both ways.
Mm.
It was difficult growing up in a Baptist church back in the 80s with a cat like that. So anyway, mom and dad at one point, I don't know, my mom loved chickens, and so she had some chickens. And one day, mom found, you know, Cuddles the cat in the chicken coop. It was a little embarrassing.
Oh, Cuddles swung that way.
Yeah, Cuddles was interspecies.
Okay.
Yeah, Cuddles, yeah.
No discrimination.
No, I don't know what happened, but a couple of months later, we had some very odd-looking chicks that were wandering around. Very furry. Cuddles was a furry cat. So anyway, but Cuddles liked to, Cuddles liked to play the field. And so anyway, and he, again, very affectionate. So one day, poor Cuddles apparently tried to get frisky with a snake, a rattlesnake. And the snake bit Cuddles. There is a point to all of this, so bear with me, folks. So the snake, Dylan, bit Cuddles right between the eyes. And poor Cuddles, Cuddles survived, but we didn't know where he went, right? We thought he died at first. We thought poor Cuddles, you know, died, the swinging cat. And so anyway, Cuddles came back. His head blew up, and his head was permanently swollen. And it looked like he was like a red, one of those, you know, what do you call them? The red cats or a tan cats, whatever. Anyway, he looked like a big cantaloupe. That's how big his head was. And the problem was, every time, and we think he was brain damaged, because when Cuddles came back, he could not just, let's just say he was walking in a straight line and he walked directly and into the wall and he would keep walking. Cuddles would not know, the brain would not tell Cuddles you have to turn. So he would just keep walking like he was on a treadmill. So you had to go and manually move Cuddles and then he would walk in the other direction. It was very sad. So. Anyway, I'm not sure why I told that story, but anyway, people love their cats. They do, and they don't want to see their cats on a dinner table, right? They don't want to go and see their cat being dipped in batter and deep fried, and I understand that, and the dogs too. And I would probably be a dog person. A lot of people say, Todd, why do you hate animals? I don't hate animals. I just, you know, I travel a lot. And I'd have to hire somebody to go and take care of the cat or the dog. And then, you know, they're not potty trained, so you got to go out. And I'm a busy guy. You know, you guys are very demanding. I'm trying to answer emails and text messages. I can't do that if I had a dog. I'd be out walking the dog. All that to say, the people in Springfield, I believe, have very genuine concerns about what's going on there in their community. So a guy showed up at the city council meeting, and he was very upset because it turns out that now the city, they're evicting. So the landlords in that community are now evicting law-abiding, rent-paying American citizens, and they're kicking them out to make room for these illegals who, by the way, their rent is now being paid sometimes double, triple the amount by the federal government, which would be your tax dollars. Let's take a listen to this guy.
You know, the homeless problem. I don't know of a single homeless Haitian in this town because they all got vouchers. But I can show you a whole bunch of people that have been displaced because I'm that guy. Rob, you know, for 25 years, I've worked with the homeless in this community. You know, a lot of people don't know because I'm not the guy out there blowing the horn because it ain't about me. It's the Jesus in me that goes out there and does it. Trust me, there's days I'm tired. But I'll get into homeless camps that nobody in a suit and tie will walk into. None. They trust me because I've never let them down. You know, and guys, if you don't think it's here right now, in October, we are getting ready to hit a wall here. There is not any relief for the homeless. The homeless people in this community are not the people you think they are, the squatters that aren't happening. It's not there. There's veterans. Come see me. I'm not real hard to find. Ask anybody on the street. They'll tell you how to get a hold of me. I'll take you there. And no, they don't want your toothpaste and your peanut butter sandwiches. They want you to come up with a solution to why they're displaced, why they lived in a house. I personally know, and I'll testify under oath, my hand to God, somebody that lost their house. They were there 7 years. The landlord said, hey, I need you to move out, find a temporary place. I'm going to remodel it, and then you can come back.
Thank you, Baron.
It was a lie. They moved him out, tripled the rent.
Thank you.
Follow
thank you for
the
speaking.
Money.
That's it. Follow the money. And that's what we're going to be doing, because this is not just happening in Springfield, Ohio. This is happening in small towns and communities. We told you about Sylacauga, Alabama. It is happening in other areas, and you may see it in your community. You may have already started to see the influx. And again, it's not just people from south of the border countries. We're talking about Haitians. We're talking about people migrating over here from Africa. And those are the hotbeds, by the way, of radical Islamic terrorism. But Marianne Williamson, remember the crazy, the wackadoodle DNC candidate? Remember her? She's posting stuff online now saying, hey, look, you need to pay very close attention. I want to read this to you. She said, continuing to dump on Donald Trump because of the eating cats issue will create blowback on November 5th. Haitian voodoo is, in fact, real. And to dismiss the story out of hand rather than listen to the citizens of Springfield confirms in the minds of many voters the stereotype. And it is a stereotype of Democrats as smug elite jerks who think they're too smart to listen to anyone outside of their own silo. She is 1,000% right here, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, the Obama Biden administration is doing to American towns and communities. And keep in mind, this community, over 60% of voters voted for Donald Trump. Over 60% of the registered voters in Sylacauga, Alabama voted for Donald Trump in the last presidential election. These are red communities, and the Democrats are coming in and they're punishing you. That's what they're doing. And that's what, by the way, Governor DeWine brought this up. The governor of Ohio. And by the way, all these people in the national media saying that there's not an issue here. Oh, there's an issue. Governor DeWine said that Springfield's population is around 58,000. Imagine having 15,000 to 20,000 Haitian migrants relocating into your area. A city like they can't handle that. And that's what the governor said. He said it represents a massive increase based upon percentage of the population of Springfield. It's unprecedented over such a short period of time. And the governor says, hey, look, healthcare, education, driver's education. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, in Springfield, the other big story, the number of car accidents. As a matter of fact, an 11-year-old boy was killed and dozens of children were injured when a Haitian plowed into a school bus. Why is that? Well, according to the governor, a good number of the Haitians who come to the United States have never driven a car before. And so now they're causing accidents all over Springfield. That is now leading to an increase in insurance cost for the citizens of Springfield. Are you seeing how all of this plays out? The governor says many of them don't speak a lick of English. They don't know local laws. They haven't received any health care through much of their lives. And now they are being required to provide all of that for the nearly 20,000 illegals. And here's what the governor's doing. The governor said, we're going to send $2.5 million to help expand health care in Springfield. And we're also going to send in the state police. Well, my question is, what are you talking about, governor? Why would you do that? Here's a thought. Send the illegals back to Haiti. Why don't we do that? Or send them somewhere else. Why are we going to be spending more tax dollars to take care of these people? And that's what the governor is saying. This is not about providing relief for the law-abiding taxpayers of Springfield. This is about providing more government resources for the invaders. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, we've been telling you about the SAVE Act, and this would require voters to show proof that they are, in fact, U.S. citizens before they can cast a ballot. It's a very prudent, pretty reasonable measure in my mind. So we're getting word now that Speaker Mike Johnson has now pulled the SAVE Act from a House floor vote. Now, the plan was to attach the SAVE Act to a continuing resolution to keep the federal government funded for an additional 6 months. Are we still at Nancy Pelosi's spending levels? I don't think they've ever been able to remedy any of that. Anyway, it will not be brought up for a vote. There were 15 Republicans in opposition to the measure, and they say it would be fiscally irresponsible to pass a bill that kicks the can down the road just because it has the SAVE Act in it. Right now, mail-in ballots are going out in several states for the election. Should the bill pass, it would not have that much of an impact on the enforcement of citizen-only registration. What did I tell you, folks? I told you, it's all about the clock. There was no way the Republicans were going to move forward on this. So again, what's going to happen if the Democrats are smart? They will use this against the Republicans. And they'll just say, see, there you go. The Republicans say they want to secure our elections, but they pulled legislation that would have done that. It's just ridiculous. Critics anticipate the appropriations bill will get passed. However, the SAVE Act was seen as a poison pill. So far, 12 massive appropriations bills have stalled in Congress, and the new fiscal year is set to begin October 1. Mike Johnson and the Democrats have less than 19 days to decide whether a government shutdown will or will not be averted. Very simple question, ladies and gentlemen. Do we shut down the border or the government? At what point do we say, you know what, we've got to draw a line in the sand, and here is the moment where we've got to start cutting our spending and protecting our elections? Two separate issues here, right? First of all, you've got the SAVE Act. We want to make sure our elections are secure, but then there's a continuing resolution. Every single one of you listening to this radio program right now, you have to balance your budget. You know exactly how much money is coming in, how much money is going out, and you live your life accordingly. We should expect the same of the federal government. Let me say something about this, and I caught holy you know what from a lot of the Christians who listen to this program. But hear me on this. Until every single American child is taken care of, and every single American veteran, homeless veterans especially, until all of their needs are met and taken care of, we don't need to be spending a single penny for the illegals. Not a single penny. The illegals have to go. And by the way, if you're a migrant and you come to this nation, then you come here legally, then you need to figure out how to live your American dream without my tax money. And a lot of people are, how dare you? What would Jesus do? Well, I don't think Jesus would break the laws and cross the border illegally. Again, ladies and gentlemen, going all the way back to biblical days, cities had walls, countries had walls. They have borders. And the reality here is that we are about to implode as a nation because of all these illegals. I mean, that's really that simple. And if you don't believe me, just go talk to the people over at Springfield, Ohio. Go talk to those good people. All right, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Coming up, Congressman Andy Harris, a member of the House Freedom Caucus, he's going to join us, and maybe he can shed some light on what's going on. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is an emergency room nurse responding to a lot of the disinformation coming from Kamala Harris.
Pregnant women who want to carry a pregnancy to term, suffering from a miscarriage, being denied care in an emergency room because the healthcare providers are afraid they might go to jail, and she's bleeding out in a car in the parking lot. She didn't want that. Her husband didn't want that.
I'm an emergency room nurse, and there is no circumstance where we would ever let a woman sit in her car and bleed out, regardless of the abortion law. Like, we would bring her in if abortion was, like, illegal, right? No circumstances. We would bring her in and give her emergency release blood. We would give her fluids. And the fact that she so blatantly gave such disgusting medical misinformation, like, just turned me off to her.
Thank you, ma'am. A lot of people are turned off. Oh, by the way, this Chicago resident, you've got to hear this audio. This is great. I am telling you, the minority communities in America are just livid over this illegal immigration problem, and especially in Chicago's South Side. And the black citizens of the South Side, they are living it every single day. They realize they are being displaced. It is just fascinating and jaw-dropping to hear some of these town hall gatherings where these residents are just letting it rip. Cut number one.
Can you help me with the solution you'd like to see me do?
Surely I can help you with the solution. I can give you real. I give you one simple answer. Send them back. That's the only solution. That's it. Other than that, they will surpass us. It is math. It's simple math. They will overtake us in numbers at the rate that they have kids. They cannot be U.S. citizens. You are dooming our next generation to subservitude. I'm telling you this.
Okay.
It's just simple math.
I know, but
that's it's simple math.
I'm very good at math. Let me share something with you. Most of the persons that are trying, that are here right now, under the technical definition, do not qualify for asylum.
I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about the children that they have. They will be U.S. citizens, and they will have a voting block. All we have to do now is look at the Hispanic voting block they have now. They get everything they want. Look at our communities. You should see the schools that they have.
Okay, yeah, that might be somewhat racist, but his point is that you can't have all of these illegals moving into the communities because it changes the fabric of the community and it displaces the law-abiding American citizens there. And the black community in Chicago especially, they get it. They understand what's happening, and they're not going to stand for it. They're not going to tolerate it. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Congressman Andy Harris from Maryland's 1st Congressional District, also a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I am.
Congressman, real curious here about the status of the SAVE Act. What can you tell us about it?
Well, for some reason, the Democrats are still opposing it. The vast majority of Democrats, as you know, we only got a handful of Democrats to agree that we should actually make sure that you're a U.S. citizen if you're voting in a federal election. When we put it on the floor individually, we're going to, you know, there's still plans to try to couple it to a continuing resolution. If we have to pass a continuing resolution, at least put the SAVE Act on it. So that, you know, we send a clear signal that that for this election, if you're here illegally, you better not try to vote because, you know, there will be penalties.
So the plan was to attach the SAVE Act to the continuing resolution. Where does that stand right now?
Well, unfortunately, there are probably just short of a dozen Republican members who just won't vote because it's attached to a continuing resolution. They just won't vote for it, even though we really need the SAVE Act, and we need it soon, and we need to get it over to the Senate. And, you know, let's see how Chuck Schumer explains to the American people that he'd rather shut the government down than make sure that illegals don't vote in our federal elections.
Is it true? We had heard some reports that Speaker Johnson had removed the SAVE Act from the continuing resolution. Is that accurate?
That decision has not been made. We were supposed to vote on the bill yesterday afternoon. Clearly, we were a few votes short, so he did the right thing. He, you know, held the vote till next week. We'll work it over the weekend. But he's still very, very interested in attaching the SAVE Act to a continuing resolution.
So the problem here is really on the Republican side. He doesn't have the Republican votes to get that through.
Well, I mean, that's because the Democrats just don't think we should make sure that illegals don't vote in federal elections. I mean, the problem really is that the Democrats, almost to a person, somehow think that illegals should be allowed to vote in federal elections.
No, I hear you. But what I'm saying is the Republicans do still have a majority. So if all the Republicans are on board with this, it goes to the Senate. And then, you know, I mean, and it's going to get shot down. But at least the Republicans are taking a principled stand here.
That's correct. We should be able to unite the Republicans around this, and that's the problem. There are a handful that, because it's a continuing resolution, will not vote for it.
You know, Congressman, I'll clean this up for our family-friendly radio audience. It sounds like a blank show up on Capitol Hill, to be perfectly honest with you.
It is. We should have taken this vote yesterday. It should have been all the Republicans should have united and sent it over to Chuck Schumer and asked him to explain why he thinks why he thinks the SAVE Act is a bad thing.
All right. And I hear you. I hear you on blaming the Democrats, but it sounds like we've got some renegade Republicans who aren't going to get on board. And I warned our audience about this a couple of weeks ago. I'm a clock watcher and I see it. You know, it's just, they're not going to risk shutting down the government this close to an election. I mean, that's, you know, we've been down this road so many times before.
That's right. And if we're going to pass a continuing resolution, and by hook or by crook, a continuing resolution will pass, the least we can do is attach the SAVE Act to it.
Are we still on Nancy Pelosi's spending levels? I've lost track over these CRs.
Yes, we are. We're still working under the last negotiation, which was which more or less was at the Pelosi spending levels. Not a whole lot more, but more or less at those levels. And you know, when you account for inflation, we're actually bringing down in real dollars, bringing down the spending level. But it needs to come down faster.
So, well, it does. I'm wondering, back in your district, President Trump, is the message resonating? I know Maryland, heavy Democrat territory. Are you guys making any gains there?
Well, you know, in my district, Mr. Trump is going to win my district pretty handily. You know, we have the Western Maryland Congressional District is a, and I'm the only Republican right now, but that district, which is a vacant seat right now, is a toss-up race. Neil Parris, our candidate, a great candidate. We have a chance to win that. And, of course, Larry Hogan has a shot at winning the U.S. Senate seat. So Maryland's not lost for all. Mm.
The fallout from the debate, I still think, I mean, based on substance, and I actually went and read the transcript. And when you read the transcript, Trump won hands down. I'm curious, what was your take on the debate?
So my take was that I think Kamala Harris performed better than I expected. But then again, my expectations were pretty darn low for her. I think Donald Trump needed what he needed to do. He needed to sound strong. He needed to bring up security, immigration, and the economy. He did that. He closed by asking the question, you know, look, why hasn't she done any of this in the past 4 years? And that's why I think if you look at the polling, no independents were really swayed by this. So Kamala Harris was not able to sway independents because independents looked at her answers or non-answers, whichever way you want to look at it, and they say that's exactly what's wrong about politics. You ask a politician, are you better off now than 4 years ago? And she launches into her life story.
That's a fair point. I mean, it is. And I think, you know, when you look at some of the polling coming out of it, it's sort of all over the place. But what really impacted me was the CNN instant polls that showed President Trump's numbers actually went up when the question was asked, who is more capable? Who do you trust to handle the economic issues? So I think everybody sort of saw through Kamala Harris and the act the other night.
Now, that's absolutely right. They're still going to the grocery store. They're still seeing the grocery prices being high. They know the gas price is still half again as much as it was when President Trump was in office. You can't fool them. They know that their neighborhoods are less secure. the country's less secure. You just can't. And, of course, the immigration is, of course, out of control. And nobody's going to believe that somehow our border czar, Kamala Harris, did a good job at the border.
Well, well said. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We appreciate you calling into the show today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Congressman Andy Harris out of Maryland. And again, it's I know he's a Republican and he's doing the right thing. He can't control his colleagues, but the reality is this is not on the Democrats. This is on the Republicans. And we've got to stop fighting and we have to unite and we have to present a united front on Capitol Hill. That's the problem here, ladies and gentlemen. That's the problem. All right, got to take a break. We are going to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. So what do you recommend the Republicans in the House do? Do they shut down the government? Do they attach the SAVE Act? Or do they just wave the surrender flag, hope that President Trump wins in the fall, hope they win in the fall, and they regroup in January? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, folks, 5 o'clock Eastern, I'm back on Newsmax 2 tonight. We're going to have a terrific show. And speaking of terrific, have you heard about the terrific new plan to become an owner of Newsmax TV? That's right. You can now buy preferred shares in Newsmax. They come with a 7% dividend. Forbes magazine says Newsmax is a news powerhouse, and they make it super simple. You can actually buy shares with a credit card. All you need to do is go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All the information is there, NewsmaxInvest.com. Someone just sent me a note that said, Todd, are you a big pumpkin spice guy? Do I look like a pumpkin spice guy? I don't think so. Anyway, over at the Germantown Pharmacy, which is where I buy my drugs, a family-owned drugstore, it is such an awesome place. It's when I walk in there, I feel like I'm, you know, back in Mayberry. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, they have all these, I don't know, what do they call them, Dylan? Doodads? You know, the stuff the ladies like. You know, those little, like, candles and whatnot.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
They sell my biscuit book.
Nice.
So, in all of that. So, that's kind of, so I'm kind of happy about that. Anyway, they've got these, like, designer foods. So, I'm curious, folks, are you into the whole pumpkin spice thing? And at what time is it appropriate to begin drinking the pumpkin spice lattes? Anyway, this is something called pumpkin spice popcorn. I'm not too sure about this. It's pure, simple popcorn happiness. That's what they're advertising it as. It's salted caramel popcorn made with real butter and pumpkin pie spices. I just want to say something here about that. I'm not a pumpkin pie guy. I am a sweet potato pie guy. And there are some people out there that can't tell the difference, but there is a difference. And I just have never liked pumpkin pie. Sweet potato pie, I'm there. Count me in. As a matter of fact, when I go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, I love the sweet potato casserole. I order that as dessert, by the way. You know that you can do that. They'll let you do that, and they'll even throw in a big dollop of ice cream on the side. But, yeah, I'm not a big pumpkin guy. And people say, how can you tell the difference? A lot of people believe there's not a difference between the pumpkin pie and the sweet potato pie. But I would disagree with that. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Louise in Georgia. Hi, Louise. What's on your mind?
Oh, a lot of stuff, Todd. And since I can't call you back tomorrow, you know, when you talk about your whatever you want to, could I rattle off two or three things today?
Real quick, we've got a lot of folks waiting in line here, Louise.
Well, I know, but hang on. All right, let them shut the government down. They don't do anything anyway. All right, Trump should have just backed up and walked off the stage at that debate. Why don't they just let him and her debate and question each other and don't have any people asking questions? Let them do whatever they want to, you know, and stop all this crap. And they need to start shooting all these idiots
protesting, they need to shoot them with rubber bullets and get them out of there. And one more thing is Frank Stiller has to take care of our veterans because the government won't, but they'll take care of the illegals. And one more thing, I do not understand why there's all these abortions going on. You know, there's plenty of stuff to keep from getting pregnant. But one thing I'd like to say to all these women, just keep your legs together.
And to the gentleman, the barn door closed, if you will. Louise, thank you for that. Let's go to Mitch in Jackson, Tennessee, WTJS, our great affiliate there. Hi, Mitch. What's on your mind?
I wanted to address the situation with the attacking the bill on. Wouldn't the Democrats, and haven't the Democrats done that to us many times before?
Of course. Yet, Mitch, they do it all the time.
All the time. And I am so tired of these sniveling, spineless little Democrats, or these little Republicans who won't take a stand. Sacrifice your reelection and stand for the country and make a stand for something that really matters. It just burns me up for them to just fold like a house of cards and constantly go for their own thoughts and feelings and their own reelection rather than the country.
And you heard the interview with Congressman Harris. I mean, he's a good guy and he's voting the right way. But at the same time, you know, he knows what's really going on there.
Absolutely. Those districts should be calling, and the names need to be posted. Those districts should be calling right now to absolutely show their displeasure if they're even thinking that direction.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mitch, but you're absolutely right in your assessment there. If the Democrats were in charge, you better believe they'd be shoving this legislation right down our throats. Mitch, got to run. Thank you for that. Real quick, let's go to Robert in North Carolina. Hi, Robert. What say you?
Yes, sir. Along about those same lines, is there any way that we can require the Republicans in the House and the Senate to publish a vote of who by name of who voted for what so that we will know who we are electing? Because they go up there, as that guy was talking about, they go up there and they tell us they're going to do one thing and they do another. And by not publishing their votes, we don't know what they're doing, so we don't know who's screwing off and who's not. So we need some way of knowing what they're doing.
Robert,
if they work for us, we don't work for them.
Yes, sir. You're 1,000% right. Robert, yes, they do publish those names. And I will, once they have the votes, I will publish those names on my website so you'll be able to see for yourself, you know, who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. But I am telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, and Robert, thank you for that call. Ladies and gentlemen, the American people are about to get hosed again by the House Republicans. That's what's about to happen. All right, hang tight. We've got hour three. Our good buddy Robert Cahaley from the Trafalgar Group, one of my favorite polling groups, he's going to drop by. Also, Dr. Paul Champel is going to be here to talk about that major conference coming up in California that I want you to go to. Hang tight, everybody. Hour three coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome, everybody. Hour three of the big show. Good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend, Robert Cahaley, one of the best pollsters out there. And Robert, we've been bragging about you guys for a long time now on this program. Of course, you are the senior strategist and pollster over at the Trafalgar Group. Hope you're doing good today.
I am. How are you?
Good, good, good. So I'm curious to do a deep dive into the numbers that you guys came up with after the presidential debate. What are you reading into these numbers?
the first thing that we came up with, and this was done in conjunction with Insider Advantage, that's Matt Powery, who I do a weekly podcast called Polling Plus. He and I do that together, and we did this project together. And the first thing we found was that it didn't really move the needle. We started with Trump 47 and her 47, and this is across all seven battleground states, and two for others and four undecided. So we asked them who won the debate, and we had 55 thought Harris won, 43 thought Trump won, two thought it was a tie. However, then when we pushed them, all right, now if the election were tomorrow, who would you vote for? And this is one where we encourage people not to vote, say undecided. 48 Trump, 48 Harris, one for others, and two undecided, three undecided. So we had a significant amount of people who said they thought Trump lost and they were still voting for it.
What does that tell you? What were people looking for in that debate this week?
Well, first of all, there weren't that many undecided voters. I mean, that's the thing that people need to get their arms around. There's just not that many out there. And many of those who are staying undecided in polls, they're one of two kind of people. The kind of people that probably won't end up voting, or the kind of people who are staying undecided because they don't want to say maybe they're voting for somebody that they feel like they'll be judged for saying they're voting for. That's called the social desirability bias. And it is the reason that Trump always underperforms polls.
Robert, you know, looking at a lot of the other polling data and a lot of, I was really intrigued to see it. And they did that instant poll. And I found it fascinating that people thought Kamala Harris won the debate. But when it came to the economy, Trump's numbers actually went up, and they believe that he has a better shot at fixing the economy than she does.
Exactly. He accomplished a couple. You know, it's one of those things where the final score of a ball game doesn't tell you everything. In this case, Trump accomplished a very big goal, which was tying her to Biden's policies. And to the point of the only real time I thought she got rattled was when she said, well, I'm not Joe Biden. You know, and I'm not, and then she realized, oh, I shouldn't say that. And that's, well, I'm not Donald Trump. But that was the time where I think he rattled her. And that mattered because she kept saying, well, I'm going to do this, that. And he kind of did the question of, well, why haven't you? And so, and the economy is the place where those few that are undecided are going to make their decision based on the economy. And what we've learned is most people who are upset about immigration, they've already decided who they're voting for. And that's the same with a lot of the other issues. The economy is different. So the economy is a very important place, and I think that mattered. I think that he tied her to Biden and Biden's economy very well.
Robert, as we're moving into the final stretch, you know, late September into October, what do we need to be looking out for? And what are, you know, what sort of polling data are you, guys doing another poll between now and an election day?
Oh, yeah. Probably between Matt Towery and I, we kind of divide up the states, the seven battleground states each time. So right now we're working on the Sun Belt, and he's doing the Rust Belt because we did the Rust Belt the week before the debate. So he's already put out one poll. His Michigan, I think, had Trump up by one, and we'll be putting out polls from North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And he'll put out a Pennsylvania and a Wisconsin. So we have a lot coming out in the next 3 or 4 days. And we'll continue to do that roughly every week or every 10 days.
When you look at where we are right now, any comparisons to any other presidential races, or is each one, would you say, its own, you know, insulated election?
Well, they are insulated elections, but the fact is, no matter how you spin it, Trump is so far ahead of where he was in the last two elections. Now, does that mean that these people have learned, others have learned how to poll Trump better? I really don't think so. But I think that it's just the possibility that there's a lot of anger in this country, and part of what she was trying to accomplish that night and what Trump was trying to accomplish that night, I think even greater than the economy, was people vote against the way things are. And he was trying to make the case, well, I'm an outsider, I'm going to make it different. And she's been trying to make that case too. And so I think in the end, people don't like the way things are. They don't like their politics. They don't like the world situation. They don't like the economy. And they're going to vote for somebody who's going to change it. And so watch the positioning for who is talking about making change. I mean, she is actively talking about that. And do those around Trump. I mean, Trump, here's the thing. The Trump campaign is doing a very good job with their advertisements and the things they're doing. Many of the outside groups, the unofficial outside groups, not MAGA Inc., which is good too, but a lot of the outside groups are just terrible. Either they're not doing much of anything, or they're just doing just lackluster ads where they get actors to play people and stuff. I mean, the kind of ads that you can charge a donor a lot of money for, but don't really move the ball. What moves the ball right now is showing the contrast. Here's what Kamala Harris said then. Here's what she says now. What makes you believe she'll say the same thing if she gets elected?
And aren't those the best kind of political ads, though, that show the contrast? Here's what I believe. Here's what my opponent believes.
Absolutely. And when you can put her own voice out there, and there's so much footage of her. I mean, we got more footage of her for an election than has been in a long time. I mean, I don't think they had that much footage of John Kerry when they did the sale ad. I mean, this lady is completely opposite of the thing she has said she was. And, I mean, the question is, I mean, even Bernie Sanders, this weekend, Meet the Press, I think she's a progressive. She's just saying what she's got to say to get elected. I mean, that ought to be an ad.
I love it. I love it. Robert?
They're going to keep bilking the billionaires and selling a bunch of load of crap and putting money in their pocket.
Yeah, that's it.
Who doesn't need another Ferrari, right?
That's it. Robert, we got to leave it there, my friend. Always good hearing from you. When's the next poll coming out?
We're going to have polls coming out in the next 5 days.
Okay.
And Matt's going to be doing the same, so I'll retweet his, he'll retweet mine.
Fantastic. We will be all over it. Robert Cahaley from the Trafalgar Group. Robert, thanks a lot now.
Hey, always a pleasure, Todd.
All right. Good man right there, and great pollster, by the way. 901-260-5926 is our number. I want to go to the phone lines. BT from Whitehaven, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, wants to weigh in on the migrant housing situation. Hi, BT. What's going on?
Hey, I'm glad you got me. I didn't know you were still going to get me, but thank you for taking my call, Todd. I'm ex-military man, Marine. And what I've been seeing on the television, that they in big cities like Chicago and New York, they've been housing immigrants. And some of our veterans don't have a place to stay. So I'm going all the way for dog. Trump, when you go for Trump now, he's a professional businessman. The other side is career politician. Am I not right?
No, you are right. Kamala Harris hasn't built anything in her life. You know, Donald Trump has, and he's had successes. He's had failures. He's made money. He's lost money. He knows what it's like to get out there and put it all on the line.
Am I right by saying they are career politicians that have never done anything but be in politics?
Oh, Kamala Harris, right? Absolutely. Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you something else, Todd. I wouldn't want to see a female in that power chair, in that position. I don't care what nationality she be, white, black, green. I just cannot.
So you don't believe a woman should be president?
No, sir.
Why is that?
The United States. That's their nature to be so emotional, and you got to think very well. And I think by being a career politician, other than a man like Donald Trump, which is, well, I'd rather see a man in that seat. Now, maybe some of these other countries, India, Iran or something like that, maybe women, but not in the United States of America. I don't think we need that talk.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain the Iranians aren't going to be installing a female in any leadership position. So you and Judge Joe Brown.
That I just said.
No, you and Judge Joe Brown actually have the same opinion. He doesn't believe that a woman should be president either.
No, their nature is not like a man's nature. And emotional and just a different type of person than us males.
Now, BT, are you a married man? Like are you a married man, BT?
Yes, sir.
Does your wife know what you just said on the radio? I don't want to get you in trouble.
She's sitting there, she's standing there frowning at me, shaking her head.
Oh my goodness! Well, BT, I think you're going to stir up some conversation here in the coming minutes. But we're going to have to let you go. But you be safe out there in Whitehaven. You guys getting a lot of rain out there with the tropical storm coming up through Memphis?
Like the old folks used to say, it's raining cats and dogs.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, be safe out there, BT. It's a mess out there. All right, good man. So BT says that a woman should not be president because of her nature. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to throw that one out there. How do you feel about that? Do you agree? Do you disagree? He's not alone, by the way, in his thinking. I know Judge Joe Brown's been very vocal about that, but I'm curious. What do you think? Should a woman ever be president of the United States? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. I think BT may be making his own supper tonight. We'll be right back. All right. By the way, thousands of people standing out, 90 plus degree weather out in Tucson. That's like winter time for those people. So they're not suffering. President Trump going to be speaking, and we're going to be broadcasting that live. My 5 o'clock show may get preempted by President Trump, so that's okay. It'll be a fun day. So anyway, that's coming up. 5 o'clock Eastern is when the president is supposed to start talking, and we will carry that live during the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. BT in Whitehaven, Tennessee, raised an issue. He doesn't believe women should be elected president because of their temperament. Let's go to Cheryl in North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. All right, Cheryl, what say you?
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to say that we need to get out of this nonsense of saying this kind of person or that kind of person deserves to have a place on the docket to be elected to something like the President of the United States. We need to get back to meritocracy standards. We need to hire people in our businesses and other roles in life and in our government positions according to their character, according to their background and how they've performed in the past, what their experience is, and what their goals are, and how well they can execute anything. And this nonsense that women, because you know that we have to have a skirt, enough skirts in every position, is nonsense. I'm not active duty now, but I was in the military in the 70s, in the late 70s and early 80s, and I saw that for myself. I went in there thinking, I can do anything that a man can do that's my size. And you know what? I couldn't. I just couldn't. But I knew women who could. But they were constituted different than me in their personality and their experience and their demeanor. So they did very, very well. But I did much better in roles that were, frankly, more traditionally women's roles. I don't think there is anything wrong with saying a woman can do this if we find the right woman. But I also want us to say a man can do this, but we have to find the right man. And this nonsense over gender, race, and all that stuff, that people deserve a place in line to do these things just because of what they look like is so far out that I can't even get my head around it. We've got to get back to a meritocracy.
All right, thank you, Tom. Cheryl, thank you. Wow, a lot to unpack there, folks. But Cheryl brings up great points. And Cheryl, God bless you. Thank you for serving our great nation. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Tarek in Memphis, Tennessee on KWAM. What say you, sir?
Well, you know, Mr. Stearns, you know, the caller was saying that he doesn't think that that a woman is capable of running this country the same way that a man is. But you know, I beg to disagree with that. I think when it comes to now, you know, a woman cannot do everything that a man can that a man does. But I think that there are certain things that a man does that a woman is capable of doing. And I think that, you know, serving as president is no exception. You know, so I think that a woman is capable of running this country the same way that a man is. It's just, you know, when it comes to that, I think that gender shouldn't be an issue. But now in Kamala Harris's, and as far as Kamala Harris is concerned, I think that it's totally different from Kamala Harris, because I think it's about her leading people into believing that she's going to do all these promises that she's making. But I think it's all about baiting and switching.
You're 1,000% correct, Tarek. And we got to leave it there. If you can hear the music, we've got to scoot out of here. But you're absolutely right. It is bait and switch. Absolutely. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we broadcast this show nationwide from a heavily fortified talk radio bunker in Memphis, Tennessee. And Dylan, it is heavily fortified, but I can still hear the rain pounding on the outside of the building.
It's raining.
It is. Well, you heard one of our callers in Whitehaven says raining cats and dogs.
Sure is.
That's the Haitians got excited. I'm sorry. That was really inappropriate. That's just. Do we have the TikTok music? We had to play that again.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
Drop
it. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. Eat the cat.
Anyway, all that to say, it's flooding now. There's like a huge. We're calling what Lake Stearns outside the building.
It's my favorite place in the parking lot. Actually,
just set up a lawn chair and grab a an iced tea or something.
Going swimming later.
All right, get the floaties. Is that what they call them? You don't want to have to call water rescue. Anyway, all that to say, welcome back. We are dealing with a tropical storm. And Wyatt Cox from Nevada, the Nevada Talk Network, just said, Todd, whatever you do, don't step in a poodle. That's very well played. All right, I've lost control of the program. Anyway, later tonight, ladies and gentlemen, honored to be emceeing a big event for an incredible pro-life ministry here in town called Confidential Care. And they go out there and save these beautiful babies from the abortionist. Our keynote speaker is Dr. Ben Carson. So we're excited to be in Germantown, Tennessee later on this evening, pending the boat's arrival. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we are honored to have our good friend, Dr. Paul Chample. He is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church in California, also president of West Coast Baptist College. Dr. Chample, hope you're doing well today.
Doing great, Todd. It sounds like you're having a little too much fun there today.
Well, there's not much you can do when a tropical storm is coming up the Mississippi River, so we just pray for the best.
Right. We'll pray that it doesn't hit too hard.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Chample, we've been talking for the past couple of weeks about this important conference coming up It's called the Spiritual Leadership Conference, and I want you to give our great audience an idea of what they can expect if they attend the conference.
Well, the conference is coming up September 22nd through the 25th, and our theme is courageous. And if there has ever been a day when we need courageous leadership in the church, it's today. And we're going to be preaching and teaching sessions on how to be reaching our communities with the gospel, how to reach out to our elected officials, and how to be salt and light in this nation that so desperately needs strong spiritual leadership.
And what I find so fascinating is that the church and the college are based in California, northern Los Angeles County. And I can't think of a more important place to have courageous Christians.
Well, I like to say the darker the night, the brighter the light. And the Christians that I know here in California, because we have a dark backdrop, they shine brightly and they take a stand. And you either take a stand or you get pushed out. And it's so important that we stand, first of all, for the gospel and for the word of God, and then also for our freedom to be able to witness, to be able to speak. And we know that in recent days, censorship has happened with respect to other issues, and it would not be surprising if we lose some of our freedom of speech in the future unless we exercise it and use it for the gospel in this hour.
Last night on Newsmax, I had Tony Perkins from Family Research Council and Dr. Carson on. Dr. Carson, by the way, just named the chair of President Trump's faith advisory team. There's a new survey that came out early this morning or late last night from Pew, and it shows, I mean, overwhelmingly, 82% of white evangelical Protestants are backing Donald Trump. Are you surprised by those numbers?
I'm not surprised by those numbers. I truly believe when you set aside a lot of the personality issues and a lot of the little soundbite issues that come up, and just look at the platforms and really ask questions, it becomes obvious that there's a side in this equation on the Democratic side that is truly not being honest about their position on life. I believe when the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and the Lord Jesus was born, the Bible says that during the time of her pregnancy, she was great with child. And the Bible says that children are the heritage of the Lord. And while the Republican platform softened a bit, I don't view them as anti, in the sense of anti-life. And so then you look at the ideas of funding surgeries for transgender illegal aliens, and that's not, you know, those are not things that Trump made up in the debate. Those are actual things that have been said. And so when people step back, if they're truly the type of Christian that's guided by Scripture, they recognize that this is a true, true opportunity to stand with salt and light and scriptural principle. That is not to say that Donald Trump is a saint. That's not something you could say about me or you. Other than the fact that we're forgiven and washed in the blood of Christ. But it's simply to say that I believe that there are many people, quiet, hardworking people, who see the reality of how far left the other side has gone. And while they may not agree with everything else, they want to step to the side that is preserving this nation, not destroying it.
What I find fascinating in California, and you guys have a supermajority of Democrats that control the assembly and the state government, and over the past couple of months or so, I've noticed a few Democrats actually either stepping away from their party or, you know, becoming independents or joining the Republicans. And the common denominator is these are mostly minority lawmakers that come from, you know, traditionally conservative cultural communities. And I'm wondering if the Democrats have just gone too far.
Well, one of my friends here in L.A. County, who's a supervisor, which is a very large position of authority, she said to me recently, she said, "Pastor, what we're dealing with is not traditional Democrats. We're dealing with socialist Democrats." She said they're activists, they're angry, and they're pushing so far. And Todd, honestly, more than 50% of the laws passed in Sacramento this past year have to do with sexual issues and paying for 10-year-old surgeries and creating space for them in different venues. It's stunning how quickly it's happening. And yes, they have a supermajority. And I personally believe they're going to stand before God for the way that they're governing in this hour.
Well, let's talk about this conference. And I've been coming for a number of years, and it is, honest to goodness, the most refreshing and encouraging conference I go to all year. And I just love coming to the campus. And give our listeners, maybe they haven't been to West Coast Baptist College, they haven't been to Lancaster Baptist Church, just sort of describe the environment that they're going to be hanging out in for the couple of days.
Well, Todd, thank you for that opportunity. As you know, we're in northern L.A. County, and God's blessed us with a 100-acre campus and a great church family. And our church family loves to serve. And so people can expect when they step on the campus to be warmly welcomed. And we're expecting delegates from nearly all the 50 states. And as they come in, they're going to find that the gospel still works, and even in a place like California. The music will inspire. They're going to hear choirs of over 200 voice choir and the orchestra and the special music. The preaching, it's not all about political things, but it's about the gospel. It's about how to advance the gospel. It's about encouraging those that are discouraged. And where we need to speak to an issue in our land, we will do that as well. But it's really, the idea is to edify and encourage people. There are great meals. Tuesday night we'll have tons of Chick-fil-A sandwiches for everybody. We're going to have In-N-Out burgers one night. Just a lot of good food, a lot of good fellowship, and then sessions during the day that deal with all topics related to church work. And any Christian would be very encouraged at the Spiritual Leadership Conference.
And you guys have a just one of the most amazing bookstores on campus, and coffee houses, and just the, I know it's in the desert, and that kind of people kind of like, oh, wait, what? But it works. I don't know, you know, the tumbleweeds, but it works.
Yeah, we may have a few tumbleweeds. We're in the outside of town a bit, but we're going to have a lot of good food, a lot of good coffee, and just a great time of fellowship. And despite COVID and despite, you know, some people moving out of California, the church here is strong, and there's a lot of strong churches. I think of one of our graduates of West Coast just last week baptized 57 teenagers and adults in the Pacific Ocean, had over 1,000 people in his services. You know, there are some good things happening in this part of the country, despite the overwhelming majority in Sacramento creating weird and despicable laws. There's a lot of young families that are growing up saying, I don't want that, and I want to find other people that will encourage me to live for God and not for myself.
And that is something that's really remarkable. And of course, you guys are right there. You have a huge military population up there with Edwards Air Force Base. And a lot of the congregation, it's a pretty young congregation.
It is. And I'm finding a lot of young couples that are having their children, and they're stepping back and looking at these laws, and they're seeing, you know, the LA Unified School District has 13 or 14 now different holidays celebrating the LGBTQ lifestyle and literally fostering the dysphoria that we see in these confused children's minds. And these young families are saying, I don't know if I want to throw my children into that lion's den. And they're looking for a place and places where they can be encouraged in their Christian faith.
You know, Doctor, and by the way, folks, we have Dr. Paul Chappell with us. He is the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College. And you guys have an incredible school there as well for grade schoolers, middle schoolers, and high schoolers. You know, I think back to the 1950s when the conservative movement, what we now know as the conservative movement, was sort of in its infancy. And you had people like William F. Buckley Jr. and Ronald Reagan, and the fight against communism was being fought, you know, in places like California, in Hollywood. And it was Ronald Reagan who pointed out, and William F. Buckley Jr. as well, who pointed out that this was really a spiritual battle more so than it was a political fight. This is a fight against a good versus evil. And I kind of imagine that we are right back to that point in American history.
We are, and on Monday night I'll be preaching from the book of Joshua, and it was similar in his day because Joshua replaced Moses as the leader of Israel, and yet before God gave him his military instructions, he said, I want you to obey my law. I don't want you to turn to the right or the left. I want you to be strong and of good courage. And what we're going to emphasize is that who we are with God is really what is primary, and what we do for God is the outflow of that relationship. And Ronald Reagan was very forthright with identifying the communism in Hollywood, even in his era back in 1980. I mean, the fact of the matter is those problems still exist, and they are being spoken out against, and I'm thankful for that.
All right. So again, folks, slconference.com, slconference.com, if you want to get information. And people can still register, Dr. Chappell?
They can still register, and we're making room for all of our out-of-state guests. A lot of our folks will sit in overflow rooms and so forth, but we'll make room for everybody coming in from other states. We want to be a blessing and encouragement, and yes, they can register to slconference.com. We'll save them a seat. We'll get their materials ready, and look forward to meeting them.
Folks, it is the most important conference you need to be at this year, and especially before the election, so that you can be focused, you can understand exactly what we're fighting for in this country and the reason why. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to get spiritually recharged. And I would encourage you to go and be a part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference. All right, Dr. Chappell, you have me at In-N-Out Burgers, but...
Well, I'll save you some In-N-Out Burgers when you get here. We'll get some. So,
all right, sounds good.
Thank you for the time today, and keep up the good work. Thanks, Todd.
All right, Dr. Paul Chappell, folks, a great man and just an incredible pastor, and his family. His wife has published a cookbook, and I want you to write down this. It's called Striving Together Publications. They have their own publishing house. And his wife is one of the finest cooks in America. And you got to go check out great recipes. She's published a cookbook. But again, I want you to go to this. And I look forward to meeting a lot of you up there. It's a beautiful area. And you are just going to come away so inspired. Your batteries are going to get recharged. And you're going to be ready to get out there and fight for freedom in America. Again, slconference.com. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Your calls coming up next. Wow, it's really coming down outside. And all of our Memphis, Tennessee, Mid-South listeners, West Tennessee, be careful out there. A lot of car accidents, a lot of flooding of the roadways. So you guys be careful. And man, did they get punched down in New Orleans, almost a foot of rainfall. And we've got a lot of the video of that over on our website, toddstearns.com. Go check that out. And just also some really heroic acts. We understand at least one fella jumped in and pulled somebody out of their truck that was going down, going under, and saved the guy's life. So good Samaritans out there. All right, let's go to Shane in Florida. WOCA, our great affiliate out there, wants to weigh in on women and the White House. Hi, Shane. What's going on?
Good afternoon, Todd. Good thing you're in the bunker here and you're getting ready for the beehive that we just batted with.
No, BT did that. I'm not having anything to do with it.
Excellent show today. You got me laughing. I have to concur with the female caller that was ex-military. I myself am an NCO ex-military, and let's see, that things did not work out well for the ladies in the military. Yes, there were a few that were good at their positions, but let's take a look at Miss Harris in the last 3.5 years. What happened after her summit when she went over to Ukraine, was it, I believe? And, what was it, 3-4 days later?
3 days later, Shane. 3 days later.
Right. I think she's incompetent. I think it's a joke. And if you're voting for her, you're wasting your time. And I just think she's not the right female for the job. Tulsi Gabbard, I believe, could handle it. Or somebody of her mannerism. Somebody with her experience.
You know, Shane, here's how I've always looked at that, and I just don't believe women should be on the front lines of battle. I don't think that's the place for a woman. If a woman wants to serve in our nation and she's capable and she's able to do the work, then God love her. And I respect anybody who wants to stand up and defend my freedom and defend my right to sit here and, you know, have a conversation behind a radio. But at the end of the day, the purpose of the military is not to advance some sort of social engineering change. It's to blow things up and kill the enemy.
You are correct. And I don't know, it's been so long and I haven't paid attention. I do know that they let women in the military, but is there actually real G.I. Janes? That's what I say to people. Is there a SEAL G.I. Jane? Is there a Ranger? I don't know. I honestly never looked into it, but I don't think that they could handle it.
Yeah. Shane, I hate to do this, but we are coming up on the end of the show here. But God bless you. Thank you for holding on. Thank you for serving our great nation, and give us a holler back. Wow, what a great day, everybody. Great show. In the meantime, get out there, stay dry, stay safe, and we're going to be back tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, by the way, on Newsmax. Get out there and be good, America.